Luke 1, verse 39. At this time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zachariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humility, the humble state of his servant. For now, on this old generations will be called me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our father." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Wow, wasn't that wonderful? The choice of songs this morning has just been wonderful. Thank you very much. I love the prayers this morning too. It was just terrific. Thank you very much indeed for everyone who's been involved so far. And thank you again for your welcome. It's a real privilege and a pleasure. I know we say that, but I mean it from my heart, for John and I to come and be with you this morning. We feel the warmth of your fellowship, and thank you so much for welcoming us. One of the things that I love about coming to Stoke Green Baptist Church is to enjoy your wonderful band. So thank you, band, for doing it yet again. It warms my heart. I love it. So thank you. So now that we've arrived in December and the first Sunday of Advent, I thought we'd look at the first ever Christmas worship song. And the whole of Luke chapter 1 is a great story, and Mary's song has an incredibly powerful message for all of us. So we're going to have a look at that after we pray together. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for these incredible, amazing words. And we pray right now, by the power of your Spirit with us, that you would speak to each one of us. Amen. So, Mary's famous first Christmas worship song in Luke chapter 1. And here's my question this morning for us. Why is Mary singing this wonderful song? What's happened to her to get her singing like this? Let me set the scene for you. Because as we all know, some pretty amazing things have been going on in Luke chapter 1 before the bit that we read together. Can we have the next slide, please? Here's the first amazing thing from a little earlier in the chapter, Luke chapter 1. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus." It goes on, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." Now, I say this with some hesitation, but I have noticed that very often it's a surprise, whatever the circumstances. when the pregnancy test is positive. But it's even more of a surprise if, verse 34, you're a virgin. And it's even more of a surprise if an angel brings you the test results. Verse 31. Okay. And just in case we don't think we're dealing with something that's completely supernatural here, God breaking into his world, confounding the laws of nature, because we believe in a creator that intervenes in his creation, don't we? Who gets involved in his creation. He loves to reach out to people. So just to make sure we don't miss out on God getting involved in his world, notice what's going on in another miraculous pregnancy in verses 36 to 37 of Luke chapter 1. Here's the next amazing event from Luke chapter 1. Mary's not the only one with a miraculous pregnancy on her hands. The angel says to Mary, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Excuse my vivid imagination, just try and imagine it with me now, will you? Elizabeth hobbles into Judea General Hospital on a Zoom frame. She's an old lady. And the lady at the reception desk asks kindly, "Oh, madam, how good to see you. The geriatric ward is down the corridor on the left." And Elizabeth says, "No, I'd like maternity." "Oh, how lovely," says the receptionist. "You've had a grandchild." "No, no," says Elizabeth, "I'm pregnant." "Madam," says the receptionist sympathetically, "I think you'll find the psychiatric ward is down the corridor on the right," and she presses a button by the desk to get one of the care staff to come down. "Just give me a scan," says Elizabeth. "Just give me a scan." So they do give her a scan just to shut her up. And sure enough, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. You can see the heartbeat. The doctors are staggered. Everyone's gossiping. The news is all over the region. How can this be, we read. And verse 37 tells us something amazing. Nothing is impossible with God. Do you see? God reaching out to his creation. God getting involved in his world. Now, I don't know what the biggest shock in your life might have been. Perhaps you can think of it now, the biggest shock you've ever had in your life. Just think how you felt at that moment. And now, put yourself in Mary's sandals. She's a young peasant girl. She's a virgin. She's from a very obscure place, Nazareth. Doesn't get a mention in history. Nazareth was famous for nothing before Jesus came. And there Mary is. And she's been told in verse 32 that she'll give birth to the Son of the Most High. So she will be the mother of the one to whom the whole of the Bible so far points. It's amazing, the most published book of all time, the most read book of all time, and the baby that Mary is carrying will be the climax of the whole Bible. Isn't that incredible? Jesus is the climax of God's rescue for his people. So no wonder we see in verse 39 that we started to read, at the beginning of our Bible reading, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. She needed to talk to a wise, older woman, cousin Elizabeth. Things are happening and I need your advice, I need your help. Now, what would you expect to hear from an elderly female relative when an unmarried teenager in the family announces that she's pregnant? What would you expect to hear? "You silly girl. You wait till I get my hands on him. How did this happen?" All that kind of thing. Instead, we've got verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, "The baby leapt in her womb." So here's John the Baptist inside Elizabeth already doing what God had called him to do, announcing Jesus before either of them was born. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, we read, and in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, feels her baby king, and she knows that Mary will give birth to a baby. You see in verse 43, it's quite extraordinary. She calls Mary's unborn baby, "My Lord," who's literally God's promised king. That's what Elizabeth says. So Elizabeth, she knows that Mary's child, just a few cells inside her at this stage, is going to be Lord and God. Clump of cells. I mean, at 6 weeks, no bigger than an apple pip. And yet, this is Jesus, God's ruler from the beginning of eternity. And Mary's response to all this, that she's highly favoured, that she will be the mother of the Son of the Most High. Mary's response is to produce this first Christmas number one. And not before time, we'll come to Mary's song right now. Here we have what's known as the Magnificat. It's Mary's response to all of that I've just been talking about. And in this song, she puts into words what it's like going from being an unmarried, pregnant, Jewish, peasant girl to being the most famous and the most painted woman in history. Remember what the angel said to Mary at the very beginning of this? The angel said to her, "Mary, you are highly favored. You are highly favored. Mary, you're the sort of person that God highly favors, not the so-called rulers of the world." Next slide, please. So here's Mary's response. Have we got the next one? Yeah. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." And here we are, 2,000 years later, doing just that. Now, when I started thinking about this song that Mary sang in Luke chapter 1, I really didn't know it very well, to be honest. I knew perhaps the most famous bit at the beginning of it, but I didn't know much of the rest of it. So I've been looking a little bit more carefully these past few weeks, and it seems to me that the meat of this whole song that Mary sang is pretty much summed up in verse 53. Next slide, please. So I picked out verse 53 as a key verse for us to focus on. Do you see what Mary sings? It's really important for us to see this, because particularly as we come towards the Christmas season, here we are in verse 53, and Mary sings about the baby she's going to have. "He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." So obviously, this is a song about a meal. That's what's going on here. And at a meal, a hungry person will eat anything. Now, excuse me. I've had the privilege of being involved in church music for years. I love it. And I guess over the years I've played for lots and lots and lots of weddings. And I find that the worst weddings to play for in terms of hunger are the weddings held at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Because I've never managed to have lunch before the wedding. So I play the wedding service, and by the time we get to the wedding reception, if you're lucky enough to get invited, it's 5 o'clock, I'm starving. I've had breakfast, but no lunch. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll eat anything. But the rich person, as they sit down for a meal, at some very nice restaurant perhaps, the waiter will, they'll say to the waiter as each dish comes along, "Well, I'll have a little bit of that. I'll have a little bit of that. Oh, no, I haven't got any room for that." That's the rich person. And the danger that Mary highlights for us here at this first Christmas carol is that we can come to God and treated like a waiter.
It was the great American preacher, D.L. Moody, who said this: God sends no one away except those who are full of themselves. In our church in Frinton, we love to run alpha courses. I love them. Questions about life, meaning of life, exploring the Christian faith, and seeing people be literally transformed and changed when they meet Jesus. I think it's brilliant. It's so exciting. But one of the comments that I've often come across as people start the alpha course goes something like this, and the people I'm thinking of, it comes straight out of Luke chapter 1, verse 53. They say, and I'm sure you've heard it too, the main thing about Christianity in the church is it's there when you need it. It's there in the rough times when you need it. Or in the great times, like getting married, midnight mass, Christmas Eve, all that sort of thing. It's there when you need it. And they're picking and choosing. And of course, Jesus enjoyed the hospitality of rich people. We read lots about that. So Mary's song is not having a go at prosperity, but it's about what prosperity can do to us. If we're not careful, prosperity can make us self-sufficient and proud, coping by ourselves. We can come to God with the mindset of a customer. And ministers and church leaders hear it all the time. Pastor, would you pray for so-and-so who's not very well or who's in difficulty? Could you take this wedding? Could you take this funeral? And especially at Christmas, just a few weeks away now, the danger is that we want the event, but we don't want the meaning so much. See, we want things like Luke chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. The time came for the baby to be born. She wrapped him in clothes, placed him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. We want all that. It's a great story. We want the baby on the Christmas cards. We want the nativity scene, we want the nativity play, it's lovely, but we don't want the meaning so much sometimes. We don't want the reason that Jesus came so much. And Matthew, in his gospel, says this in chapter 1. The angel said to Joseph, she will give birth to a son. You're to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. But some people don't want to believe in a king who's Christ the Lord, who's come to save us and rescue us and rule in our lives. And Mary's song, as she looks ahead, she can see that the coming of Jesus, the coming of this child that she's carrying, will divide people into two groups. Look at verses 51, 52, and 53. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Ultimately, Jesus will divide the whole into two groups. And it's as though Mary knows that perhaps even in this room, there may be two groups of people. There may be some who may be thinking this: who is this God that I should consider him? But there'll be others who are thinking, who am I that he should consider me? People sometimes actually pick and choose at Christmas time. We love the nativity story, all that. But underneath we're thinking, I'm in charge, I make the decisions, I'm mature, I can manage. Christianity's there when I need it. Mary's song promises that those who are proud in their inmost thoughts will be scattered. So if we think, who is this God that I should consider him? Mary says it will lead to disaster. But on the other hand, Mary says, those who fear the Lord, who are hungry, who are humble, well, they're the ones like Mary who recognize that this baby is their Savior. My spirit rejoices, she says, in God, my Saviour. And it's the humble, and it's the hungry people, says Mary. They're the ones who say, who am I that God should consider me? That he should send his son to die
and rescue me. It's an amazing thing. It's the best news we can hear in our whole lives. He brings forgiveness, His Spirit, eternal life. And I just want to make a couple of final points about this, and it's a way of wrapping up this Mary song. Because people sometimes ask, you know, why do we bother so much with Christmas? I mean, if we're Christians and Christ died for us, isn't the most important thing Easter? Shouldn't we make a big fuss about Easter and, you know, really not so much about Christmas? And I think it's really important to understand that it's that God doesn't just save us through the death of Jesus, but also through His birth, through Him being born as one of us. Next slide, please. In Jesus, God steps into history to rescue us. God Himself reaches out to us. Mary grasped that. Right at the beginning of her song, she says, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." Mary's been told that the baby inside her will be the Son of the Most High, God Himself coming to rescue us, to save us. And if we don't grasp the power of Christmas, we can feel that God saves us at a distance. And what Mary is singing about is that she recognizes that Christmas is about the time when God Himself enters the world. He Himself lived His life alongside us. It's a tiny ton of cells. As a speechless baby, then through the struggles and the questions of growing up and being a teenager, then through the quiet years of working, trying to work out what it means to follow God in a broken world. Jesus walked through all of that. Jesus got totally involved. God Himself comes to save us. And it begins at Christmas when God Himself comes and lives alongside us. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why Christmas is a time of great joy for us. And one last thing. Mary, in her song, she glorifies God and rejoices because God has stepped into history. God steps into history, and last slide, please. God can change history. Mary sings, "He has performed mighty deeds from one generation to another. And He goes on doing it," she says, "to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Luke wants us to know that God goes on stepping into history and changing history. He cares about history. He cares about nations that we've prayed for. He cares about the hungry that we've prayed for. He cares about the humble. And not only does He care about history, He steps into history, but He changes history. And Mary is an example of God breaking into history and changing history. Because Mary, she's just another teenager in Israel. There's nothing especially noticeable about her. And yet, God breaks in and does something special which has happened neither before nor since. Baby with no father, except the Holy Spirit of God. A miracle never seen before or since. God breaks in and He does a new thing. And that's why Mary sings. And I would love for you to know this morning that God can do new things. Where we've given up hope, God can do new things. Nothing is impossible with God, we read. Let me tell you about two of our very special friends at home in Frimpton, Peter and Caroline, who were in complete despair some years ago when their 17-year-old son suddenly collapsed and died and no cause was found. And we invited Peter and Caroline to come to our church for a service of thanksgiving for their only son, Andy. And Caroline told us some while later how God broke into her life in quite an amazing day, on the day of Andy's funeral. She walked into church, the first time in many years that she'd walked into any church. She walked in for the funeral of her son, and she says quite clearly that God reached out and broke into her life at that moment, through the sunlight shining through the stained glass window that August morning. She says, "This is where I met God. For real." And it amazes me that God can and God does break into our lives even when we've given up hope. And there is a sign of that. I mean, for Mary, it was a miraculous intervention by God. And right now, this morning, I think God wants to tell us that he can do new things. God loves to do new things. Reaching out to us through the life of Jesus, changing our history, answering our prayers and our hopes, things that we may long since have given up believing in. When God showed his love for the world, he didn't just send a message and say, "Look, here's some truth." God stepped into our world in Jesus. He put all of himself into Jesus. He put flesh and blood on his love. He totally offers himself to us in the life of Jesus. That's how God showed his willingness to save every single one of us. God stepped into history to rescue us and to change our history. So my prayer this morning is this, that we can all of us sing from our hearts with Mary. "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." Amen. Amen. Thank you.